Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Coming up in this edition of TV Black Box, the numbers are in, and it's not good news for free-to-air TV as streaming becomes the most watched medium. Sharon Osbourne lets rip on Simon Cowell, and we have the audio. Plus, we pay tribute to comedy writer Mike McCall Jones by playing one of his funniest skits ever. Welcome to the podcast where people in the industry get their news recorded live in front of a streaming audience. This is TV Black Box.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is TV Black Box, bringing you the inside goss from the TV industry.
Hello there, I'm Rob McKnight, joining you for tonight's edition of TV Black Box as we stream live around the country, around the globe at 8 p.m. Sydney, Melbourne time, 7 p.m. In Queensland, 7:30 in South Australia, and I want to say 5 p.m. in WA.
5 p.m. 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. I'm Rob McKnight, coming to you tonight from the Sky Suites in Mascot, where Married at First Sight was filmed this year, actually. So, yes. Also joining me tonight is David Robbo Robinson from the land of the Sunshine Coast. Hello, Robbo.
Hello there. Look, great to be with you. I can also see that Malk did not get the memo. I mean, it's Army Green tonight. That's it, what it looks Army like Green. On the
you
screen.
You know why? Because we're macho men who are ready for a fight.
Well, that's what I see. So I don't know if I like undo it, but then I don't have pecs. I don't have anything. Also, I've got my red light. We're recording. We're live. We're across the world.
Oh, that's good this for the audio podcast.
Oh, my God. Oh, I forget about audio. Oh. Radio.
All that,
I
figured all that out in an effect for you, Robbo.
Yeah, could you?
Me more.
And also, well, like I think, like Chris Lilly said, Mr. G, like when I came out of my mum's womb, I went, Mum. I still do it now. I'm 40. And also, this freaking, and also another visual thing, this bloody watermark on my head, it's ruining my queef. I meant quiff.
Also joining us tonight is the viewer's advocate, Steve Mulk. Hello, Mulk.
It is so hard to follow you sometimes, Rob, I've got to tell you. It's outrageous. Yeah. Friends, hello. I'm coming to you from the land of the Darkinjung people, and I pay my respects to their elders past and present. I'm very excited for tonight's conversation.
Ooh.
That makes one of us.
I'm just looking at the rundown going, I wonder why. No, we've got a lot to talk about. So Let's do it. Let's get into it because streaming has now overtaken free-to-air television in time spent watching. The Tim Burrows publication Unmade has revealed paid streaming services in 2023 averaged 5.8 hours per week, compared to free-to-air TV on 5.6 hours. And if you thought younger viewers were abandoning traditional TV, well, guess what? Yes, you're right. In the 25 to 34 demo, TV broadcasts accounted for 1.4 hours and catch-up, 1.2 hours. Paid streaming services managed 7 hours, with TikTok, Reels and other short-form content being viewed 6.4 hours per week. Robbo, we shouldn't be too surprised by this, but you're a big TikTok viewer, aren't you?
Sorry, Rob, I'm a bit out of breath. I feel winded. I've been knocked over with a feather. Oh, I'm having hot flashes here. I'm going through the menopause right now. When did this happen? And who did not warn the free-to-air networks that this was going to happen? This is terrible. I'm shocked by this. Absolutely not. This is no surprises there. I think this would have happened a little bit earlier if this research was commissioned earlier. I think we would have found the same answer. Very few people.
The research has been happening for a few years now.
Yeah, well, 10? No, I don't agree with it. I think this is absolutely spot on. If anyone was shocked by this news, they're idiots. Can I say most programmers, most CEOs of networks will go, what we're doing? You know, no. When did this happen? And we talk about this a lot, and this is really serious. We talk about the playback services, so the apps that the networks have been god-awful for years, and they have not gotten better. I don't understand how you can cry foul and cry all these tears about, streamers coming in, we need to have prominence, all of that kind of thing, but you're not investing in your players. And it's not like we don't know that players can be better. iView is one of the best in the world. Netflix is obviously one of the best in the world.
No, Netflix is the gold standard.
I know, but also
iView. Problems. But I reckon Netflix is the gold standard.
But my point is, though, that we know that we can have a gold standard. So when we have the likes of 7 Plus, 9 Now, 10 Play going and doing the ridiculous things that they do, you just think, how can you cry in the corner but not do what you need to do to still capture that audience? I think they shoot themselves in the foot all the time. I think there is lots of blame to be leveled at them, and they need to walk into the room of mirrors and have a good bloody hard look at themselves, because the problem starts at home.
Before I come to you, Mog, I just want to remind people that we are taking your feedback through our YouTube page, which I keep meaning to look up.
And it's Facebook.
Something like, if you search TV Black Box on YouTube, you'll find us, and our Facebook page, if you search TV Black Box on Facebook. But can I go back to the Ford Carter one, Mog? Sure. Just so our audio listeners can hear this one. He says, I've actually been keeping track of how long I watch each streaming service for the year to date, so this doesn't surprise me. Now, well, Robbo's right.
Took him so hard that you really choked on that, didn't you? You really had a hard time.
I'm hearing the pain in his voice.
Robbo's like, it's right.
I'm just anyway. Not used to saying such a term. But how did we get to this position? Is it the shiny new thing that streaming services are offer? Is the money behind it? Or is it the fact that TV has remained the boys' club, where they're just hiring the same old people and younger people haven't been given the opportunity to try different things?
Has
TV just become a little bit vanilla? And unless it's done success overseas, we don't want a bar of it in this country.
Good question.
Yeah, that is a really great Robert. And I think it's a little bit
of
all of those things. I think it's a little bit of everything rolled together. I've shared my opinion before that I think the commercial free-to-air networks particularly dropped the ball 10 years ago plus, when they didn't get really serious about streaming then.
Yeah.
We acknowledge Presto wasn't the best go for Foxtel and Seven, but, clearly others learnt from it. Stan is
Last week from Patrick Delaney in this podcast, used the Unmade podcast, where he said people at Foxtel essentially tried to – they stopped it becoming successful because they didn't want to interrupt Foxtel. They didn't want to take Foxtel. So that's why he said anything that he's done since – he's taken it outside of Foxtel.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a
reflection. It's 90 with Stan.
Yeah, and I want to say this kind of gently and generously. I think that is a reflection of an industry that has been so incestuous and insidious within itself. Yeah. Certain people get into the thing that has stopped the opportunity for it to grow and to take risks outside of the traditional formats. Mm. Now, we're seeing the pain in that now. But, look, I think largely they've accepted it. However, the problem is, like you brought up, Robbo, the issues around prominence, which are real, it's a knee-jerk reaction to something that they could have solved had they transformed their business 10-plus years ago.
Correct.
That we see it in the ratings, and I know we'll talk of the ratings a little bit later, Rob. We see it in the ratings every night now, even with the new metrics. After 8:37, 9:02, the audience vanishes. They go away to somewhere, whether it is the catch-up services, and amazing if they do that, or they're going to streaming to binge or to whatever. There is not the audience that hangs in like it used to. And we acknowledge that our habits have changed in the way we watch as much as what we watch. However, the free-to-air television services, particularly the commercial services, are not giving us a good reason to even hang on past 7 o'clock, frankly.
Well,
can I quickly say something here? So we've got Michael Fields here. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't normally do this kind of feedback thing, but he's saying nail in the coffin for free-to-air networks. I agree. However, isn't it the same with other free-to-air networks in the USA and UK? It's not just us. I was listening to a great podcast, which I can't remember the name of, but they were saying that Call the Midwife is the biggest show in the UK at the moment. It gets 5 million per episode. 10 years ago, it was getting 15 million. Now, 10 years ago and 15, that's a lot of bloody daylight between those numbers.
That would be there. Overnight, but the plus seven figures with catch up would be much bigger. And that is a legitimate, like, we have to change our thinking, because the one thing I do like about Voz is it is capturing those people watching on catch up services. And I do think that's important, because that's what we're competing with. So we have to pay attention to that. I think you guys have sort of got in the right direction, where we don't have anything to watch after 8:30. Now, one of the problems with that, and I'm being a big advocate, Channel 10, weirdly, Channel 10 have been the leaders on the post 8:30 slot, right?
Yeah.
But you cannot get 9 or 7 to even entertain the idea, because money is an issue, even if you can do it cheaply. Because, you know, imagine 40 weeks, even if you could do it, even if you could do it for like 7 or 8 million, right? That's half a reality show. Now, and even though it would give you 40 weeks of programming, they're like, they just won't take a chance. They won't even pilot a show to say, well, could it be good? They're just like, won't work. You know, like the appetite for experimentation is dead. And that's what's going to keep killing the industry.
But, Rob, I think you and I would agree, and certainly Mark, but just because I've worked really closely with Rob, you know, on air, we would say that any imagination has been dead for a long time, unless you can prove it and prove it overseas. No one takes any chances anymore. I do want to thank really quickly Connor and Dylan, who said, I was listening to The Rest is Entertainment, Robbo. That's from Dylan there. It's a fantastic podcast. Check it out. But they talk about all things television, which is fantastic. But there's no imagination in television, because there's no risk. Because I'm going to ask you both, Mark, first you, when you're dealing with such a small market as Australia, And you know, there's fewer dollars. Can you take risks in Australian television anymore?
That's the problem. It's hard.
I'm going to say you absolutely can, and in fact, you have to nowadays.
But who's going to pay for it, though?
Well, people have to
put their balls on the line.
That's it. We're at the point now where we've gone past that. We can't be risky. We need to keep it safe. It is time to really start putting it out there, really having a go, really start doing things that might be perceived to be different or against the grain. And they have to be measured. That is the challenge of any kind of business where you're responsible to shareholders. You've got to make sure we're not just pouring money down a drain. However, I think that whether it's the influx of new creative talent, like Rob was inferring before, or whether it is, we literally have the answer sitting here right in front of us. And we're just refusing to work out how we can grab a bite of it. I don't know. If I had the answer, I would be shilling myself to the commercial free-to-air networks in a heartbeat.
They might not still listen. One thing I would say, Daniel Graham Rose asked a question. He said, well, he made a
this
statement.
One.
Yes, Robbo was again the only one dressed for the occasion. I mean, Steve's a uni student, so he has an excuse. But McKnight, how about a caller next week? Well, you know the thing, Daniel, and I've used that comment for a reason. When we did Robin Robbo show,
Jeepers.
We tried to make that look like a TV show on the internet. It looked like something that could be broadcast on TV, right? But that's not what people surfing around on YouTube want. They want short clips. Even TV Black Box here on YouTube is going to do no business. It does better business on Facebook, but it's weird. Yeah. People aren't going for long-form content on YouTube, and that's why when we do this, I actually don't mind doing the relaxed style. We don't use the whole big vMix setup to do the video. Mog's using Restream and doing a sort of switch himself, but that's because the more rough and ready it is seems to appeal more.
Hold on a minute. I'm the only one wearing a collared shirt. I'm the only one that has the red light outside the studio to say to everyone we're recording. I'm the only one that has a green screen. Like, come on now. I mean, you're right. Daniel, I'll send you a mug. Do we have mugs for this show? We have mugs for the show, right?
No more.
We have merch. There's no merch.
There's no merch. Let's move on. Actually, we do have mugs. We have TV Black Box mugs. But,
do we? I don't.
Yeah, I've got a couple at home I had made up.
Anyway, keep going. Yeah,
let's move on. Channel 9 has made some big changes to its afternoon lineup in Perth, as reported by Carl Ladlow on the TV Black Box website.
Laidlaw.
You know,
it's his first day. I mean, he hasn't been here for about 2 years. Kyle's been here for 2 years, but yeah. Anyway, sorry, Rob McDay, keep going.
Yeah. I miss the times we could do pickups. As reported by Carl Laidlaw on the TV Black Box website, the success of Tipping Point on the East Coast has given Nine the confidence to move to the game show into the 5 p.m. slot. Now, look, until now, a local show called Nine News First WA, catchy title, had occupied the slot. The Todd Woodbridge-hosted show will move into the slot on Monday. Malk, Tipping Point Australia, it is a success. This makes total sense, doesn't it? Nine are getting behind it, and it won't be long before Nine News First WA will be Gonski.
Yeah, look, Tipping Point is a reasonable investment from Nine, and they absolutely want to put it front and centre, as they should.
It's
really sticking it in that time slot. It's really helping draw viewers into their news product, even though, as we understand, in Western Australia, the channel dial goes 7, 8, 10. Somehow people are managing to stumble across Nine. I don't know how, but they're finding them. And I think that Tipping Point is going to be a big move for that, particularly for that we want to have the afternoon game show that draws us into the news. It is doing exactly what it is designed to do, and that is stop people changing the channel.
Again, why? I don't – this seems like a weird idea. Why do we need to – you know, it's like we have a massive trampoline in the middle of the country, we've got to try and jump and hit it to get East Coast to West Coast programming. It is ridiculous. Why is this taking so long to get this right? A network is a network. Unify the approach. If it works on the East Coast, try it over there. I really believe this. It's a big trampoline. Jump on it. Get it done.
I think there is value in the idea of some localism and, you know, WA being able to get a local show, it matters over there because it's not something from the East Coast. Having said that, Nine have really got something with Tipping Point, as I predicted a year ago. I think when Tipping Point first moved to 3 p.m., I said, watch this space. It'll eventually become the 5 p.m. show and it'll ring home. It's funny, Greg Carey, a broadcaster I really respect, who an ex-4BC broadcaster, tweeted today, this evening, about how bad Tipping Point is and that, you know, it's mind-numbing, lousy prizes, and I just replied back, I love it.
I do too.
I love watching it. It's hypnotic. I watch the coins go down, and it's funny, people say to me, there's not enough questions. Couldn't give a shit about the questions. Just let me see those coins come down. Give them all three coins. Let them come down. What else is happening in the ratings, Malk?
Coins, Jesus. Look, remembering that since like late January, we've been in this new VOZ metric, which we've had the arguments before. No one understands. But look, all I'm reporting and really caring about is the national audience average, which is a combination of both the BVOD and the free-to-air linear broadcast numbers. So the people that watched for the length of that program, as opposed to reach, which is a made-up number where people stick their dick out the window, make sure it's wet, and go, oh, a million people watched. Meh, it's not a thing. What we are seeing, however, even though we can't make direct comparisons to the Oztem numbers of previous years, the same kind of trends so far have kicked off the year, and that is Married at First Sight is literally 3 days ahead in ratings compared to Australian Idol and Australian Survivor. It is, and many nights, it is more, it rates higher than the combination of Australian Survivor and Australian Idol put together. Like it's daylight in that regard. And that's, I guess, a bit problematic for 7 and 10, because while they are getting to the back end of those, you know, those formats, they're about to introduce new things. Great. MAFS has still got a bit of a chunk to run, so it will hold its own. The big transition, of course, is when Nine finish MAFS and bring in their next thing. Can it? And we know from history, it doesn't really manage to keep it together. What's wrong, Rob?
Reggie Sorensen, good friend of the show, has said, "Bahaha, stick your dick out the window." Reggie, thank you for the insightful feedback as always. I'll do that as the extra credits.
Can I quickly say something, though? There's a couple of things here. Also, I love that we're all doing comments. Mm. Matthew Braun says, "Don't want you to have a Channel 8. That's the first channel I ever did work experience at. I loved it. I love Channel 8.
Aggregation.
Mm. And Jonathan Upton, who is a big player now at Channel 9 Brisbane. He was a newsreader there for many, many years. Also, really quickly, Reggie's talking about sticking your dick out the window, which is great. I had to look at mine to make sure mine wasn't out the window. It's not that big. And also, Lisa Cutter says, trash proving to be treasure for ratings. So that's true, though, right? If you've got quality doesn't rate anymore, but if you've got your trash, get your Willy Bins out, kick them over, trash wins, though.
Let's be honest. I love maths, but it is trash.
Yeah, trash wins.
For sure. I will offer that you will occasionally get some treasure that does step up in the ratings and beat it. I think Married at First Sight breaks every rule about television as far as why it should rate. It's in its 11th season, and it is still, like, the new metric is it's pulling on average 1.5 to 1.7 million viewers a night, four nights a week. Yeah. It's just untouchable.
And the majority of those contestants, they pull too, don't they?
That's what I hear.
Yeah. That was a visual there, but I whispered it for the audio.
I'm sorry, we have a Reggie update. She's coming again saying, "Didn't Malt say stick your dick out the window?" Oh, I'm going deaf and blind.
Oh, Reggie. We're so close to home there, doll.
What I appreciate is Reggie's faith in me, frankly.
I did think it was a bit left. I thought you meant the sliding doors I have here. That's what
the
I
smaller thought. The smaller the window, the bigger it looks, I hear.
Yeah. It's all in the lighting and the angle. Anyway, enough about our dicks.
With Robbo, the mushroom lady almost used his as a...
Okay, it's totally devolved. We can't edit that out. What's the next story, Rob?
Allegedly.
I feel a bit weird about it.
That is one of the things I would have probably edited out of the podcast.
No shit. No shit. No shit.
All right. Hopefully I can get to the Sony in enough
time. No, wait. Rob, please do a TV cliche for me.
Mm. Okay. It's changing gears now.
Yes! Yes!
Thank you.
Yes!
And we move to the UK, where Sharon Osbourne has been making headlines. The celebrity wife of Ozzy Osbourne is currently on ITV's Celebrity Big Brother and seems keen to share her thoughts on just about anything. She's already talked about the fact she can't get work in the US because she's been labelled a racist. Not that she actually said anything racist, but just because she supported Piers Morgan, so don't get me started on that one. But over the weekend, she let rip on Simon Cowell, who was her boss on The X Factor. She dropped so much tea while speaking with fellow judge Louis Walsh that a cleaning lady had to come in and clean up the mess. Roll it, Mom.
Simon asked you back to do one of the shows. Would you do it?
No, not all the money in the world.
No. Would you meet him and talk to him and tell him? I haven't talked to him at all, nothing. Zero.
But that's Simon. Cuts you off. He doesn't know how to keep friends.
No, he doesn't. Were you on The Masked Singer?
But why do you think I'm so mad with Simon? Because that year that you and I were contracted to do X Factor, it was the first year of The Masked Singer, and they asked me to do it in America, and I said I can't because I had Simon. So then they casted it, and then when Simon, well, he didn't call, but when they called and said, no, you're not doing it, I'm like, I missed a huge gig.
Can I just start by offering that, frankly, how brave? How brave of both of those two TV stalwarts to go makeup free on television? What an example they set for us.
True that.
Mm.
Are you frozen? I actually thought the feed had frozen. I'm like, finally, I get to host.
Rob had no idea where he was going. Please.
I felt like Sheldon then, not being able to pick up on the sarcasm.
Robert, that's the only equivalent to Sheldon you can
Look, I think this is fantastic. And this is the kind of programming or the kind of casting that I think that we're missing in Australian television. We were talking before about taking
this level.
About taking risks and about doing things differently. Mm. Now, 7, 9 and 10 won't do it. Now, the sad thing is, though, that I believe in my heart of hearts, and everyone knows I spent 13 years there, I adore 10. 10 was the one, though, over the years that kind of took these chances.
Yeah.
I think that this is the kind of casting, this is the kind of things that need to happen. The other thing, though, is I've read a few reports that have said that when it comes to Louis and Sharon, when they get together, there is a, you know, a team of legal people that go through it. At one point, they actually put on the live feed, because in Britain they still do a live feed, unlike here. Yeah. That they had to put bird sound effects to air for, I think, 20 minutes, because what they were saying was just not appropriate.
Outrageous, right?
And they were talking about all these people. So, look, there's always that risk now that we have of defamation, all that kind of thing. But this is the casting that people need to have. We need to get people together who we know adore each other but know about everything. I'm thinking, you know, Craig Bennett and Denise Drysdale. Get them together in a house. Film it, but let them go for it. No one is going to do that, but they should. Because the stories that they could tell each other, like what we're seeing here with Louis and Sharon, it's fantastic. The problem is that no one has any guts in Australian television to put those kind of people together, because that's a show with those two that I would bloody watch.
Stop talking. We need to workshop this live.
We sound like Rob.
Because I think you're right. We need to get people like, you know, Denise and Craig and the, into a house and tell them we're filming it and not film it.
That does seem to cross kind of ethical and privacy laws, but I love where you're going there. It's a Today's Night kind of current affair.
We can work it out. The best part is that we could lock them in there and do it like a service to society.
Can I say this lovingly to both of them? And I think they'd get this.
Kidding. Come on.
But there would be a fair amount of that budget would have to go to some Yellow Glen bubbly because we need to take care of. Well, I think that was strike one.
I don't even know what's going on.
No, Mark, two jokes that have just completely been terrible.
Oh, please. Look, let's have a look at the feed and see what people think
Robbo,
about it.
Robbo, maybe it's an idea. Maybe someone will do that. Maybe they'll get Craig and Denise together somewhere and we might get those moments. You never know.
Craig and Denise, sponsored by Yellow Glen.
Mm.
Check it out. 8:30 on 7.
All right. Let's move on because... Mm-hmm. Coming up, we pay tribute to comedy writer Mike McCall Jones by playing one of his funniest skits ever. And we'll find out what everyone's been watching in the TV Binge Box.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Just to let you know, we're back.
Just extra special effects.
You know what the problem is? This transition from the coming up to the next thing is too quick for me and I can't get ready. But now I'm ready. One of the funniest TV comedy writers Australia has ever seen has died. Mike McCall Jones was 89 at the time of his passing, but had been a writer for Graham Kennedy, Bert Newton, Don Lane, Steve Vizard, and many others after starting off as a salesman. He was a legend, simple as that. And look, I thought it would be nice to play one of his funniest skits. In fact, it's one he delivered himself at the funeral of Graham Kennedy. And yes, Mulk, it was a skit. I think this is an hilarious skit. Apparently, the setup is Graham, at Graham's funeral, had sent Mike a fax from heaven.
Speak up and don't faint. Graham knows how terrified I am. You know how much I loathe flying. This was the smoothest flight I ever had. Not one bump. Good airline food too. Great airline, Air God. It was fascinating to see airline food being served by nuns. When I arrived, I was greeted by this old bloke with a white beard. He looked like me in sketches. I helped him drag some cases of grog in through the pearly gates, which, by the way, are plastic. Gee, they think of everything up here. 50 crates of gin and tonic and a lovely bucket of ice, all ready for me. The guy I helped is already a chum. I call him St. Peter the Phantom Puller. Met some really interesting people on the weekend. Henry VIII, he told me he liked the way I threw the chicken on the floor for Bert to pick up. John Logie Baird, he said he's going to name an award after me, the Cyril. And Dick Turpin, he told me a very funny joke. Did Dick? Dick did. Clever Dick. Dead Dick. Page two. I hear Darren outed me. I've got a hot flash for him. It's rife up here. Only a few minutes ago, I saw Oscar Wilde holding hands with Chips Rafferty. I reckon if Hinch's body is ever washed up on a beach, police will be interviewing suspects for 7 years. I'm having a drink tonight at the Cloud Club with some old chums. Joff, Rosie, Norm Spencer, Johnny Ladd, Buster Fidesz, Tommy Hanlon, Senior and Junior, Al Jolson, Dean Martin, and you'll never guess who the barman is, Johnny Million. Do you know who I saw on Friday afternoon? Rover Boy, Rover the Wonder Dog. He's still peeing. I must go now. I'm about to meet the big G, God. I said he could come over at 2 o'clock. Love to Tony, Nolene, and all. Graham. Oh, there's a PS. PS, I almost forgot. You'll never guess who I had dinner with last night. Joan of... Ah! On behalf of Freddie Parsons, Ernie Carroll, my family, all Australians, and particularly Melburnians, thank you, Graham. If Graham ever wanted to lift a show when it was flagging, he always got the audience to move into it and help along with some songs. This is really hard for me because it does involve singing. We do have the leader of the Mittagong Glee Club here. And one of Graham's favourites was the Chum song. So I urge you all to sing along a lot louder than me, please. Being a chum is fun, that is why I'm one. Always smiling, always gay, chummy at work and chummy at play. Laugh away your worries, don't be sad or glum, and everyone will know that you're a chum, chum, chum. Faster, Geoffrey?
Surely.
Being a chum is fun, that is why I'm one. Always smiling, always gay, chummy at work and chummy at play. Laugh away your worries, don't be sad or glum, and everyone will know that you're a chum, chum, chum. Thank you very much.
I wanted to play that because it was Mike getting to do it himself when he wrote so much for other people, and he actually got to write his own one there. And it was
a real little time capsule, isn't it? Because frankly, if you've never seen Graham Kennedy perform, you might go, I don't get some of those references. A lot of what he offered there obviously was at Graham Kennedy's memorial. Classic, standard Kennedy lines that Mike was involved in helping write, you know, most of them.
That's right. And he could deliver them. This is a wonderful moment. And you don't get people who have that kind of gravitas anymore. You don't. You don't. And you don't have that many people in a room that appreciate what someone has done. I reckon, you know, there would have been 80% of people that he's written for in that room. Even if it was, you know, Tony Barber, like we saw Tony Barber there. Maybe he wrote a couple of lines for him one day when he was doing Sale of the Century. You know, they walked past in the GTV canteen. This is absolute magic, and it's an absolute loss. He had legitimate gags, I think, on average, every 5 seconds there, that were genuine gags. It wasn't just because it was a friendly room, but he could write a gag and write it to the room. He is an absolute genius. I was very, very lucky, very, very lucky to speak with him, a producer who I was, the wonderful Matthew Simpson on Studio 10. We spoke to Mike McColl-Jones before we interviewed Philip Brady.
Really?
And we asked him to come over to do some grabs. He doesn't want to do it. He never wanted to be on air, and you can see it there. He's got the bloody timing. He's got the delivery. He's got the obviously got the gags. We know that, but never liked to be in front of the camera. You know, in fact, preferred not to be. And Matthew and I had this wonderful speakerphone conversation with this absolute legend of Australian television. And I put this up on Twitter last night as well because I think I was 11 or 12, where I went into Angus and Robertson. In Ipswich, and found a book called Making Friends, and it had all of these stars on the front, and it was written by Mike McColl-Jones, and I bought it, and I adore it. It is one of my most treasured possessions. And to know that man who has done so much, and you remember, he's on the credits of so much, but he's not on the credits for a billion more things of Australian television. Effortless comedy, not mean comedy, not having a go comedy, just great, great comedy. And this is what's also killing television, I think, and that is not just streaming, but we're losing all of these great performers who mastered their craft throughout the years, was able to deliver and write for other people. It is a truly great loss. He was a legend, and I forever remember that beautiful phone conversation that we had with him, that pre-interview for Philip Brady. And also we need to say Philip Brady, who is an absolute legend. He's recovering from hip replacement surgery. He's in really good spirits. He wanted to come on tonight and talk about it, but he's just getting on with his recovery. But we love Philip. But also Vale, Mike McColl-Jones, what an absolute loss, but what an absolute legend.
Yeah, it was absolutely a real... You're right to bring up Philip, because he obviously was a part of the whole process and had such deep love and respect for Mike himself. The real tragedy for poor Philip, unfortunately, was that the hip replacement surgery, they replaced his shoulder with a hip. So there's a little bit of work there to happen.
It's a bit of gags. Oh, Robbie. Oh.
Okay. Well, that's the end of Rob McKnight, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the TV Black Box podcast. Yes, Mock and Robbo, you're all friends. Hey, we got the jokes.
He's yelling in the background, but he can't be heard because once he's off the screen.
We just dropped him right out. Oh, there he is. There's Rob. Hey, we'll take Rob out again. Bye, Rob. No one can hear what you're saying. Oh, it's great to have you back.
Bring him back.
It's not good listening. Come on, let's move on.
Thanks for great bloody listening, let me tell you. He just went gone and back and everything's here. Mike McColl-Jones would have loved that gag, Rob.
Yeah. Suck gag.
It's time to open the TV Binge Box.
Oh, this is so wrong.
Yeah. All right, this is where we find out what everyone has been watching, and I'll start us this week before I'm cut off again. I watched Argylle, which is coming soon to Apple TV Plus. I loved it. Weird movie. It's a basically it's Murder, She Wrote with spies.
Oh,
so I mean, yes,
I think that's underselling it, but sure.
No, isn't this the film that Ben Affleck won the Oscar for? This is fantastic. I love this film. Is that the right one?
No, think about it. She writes things in her book which are coming true, right?
What? Okay, we start spoilers, Rob. I mean, you're the one with the policy, not me.
That's the setup of the movie.
But is it?
Oh, come on, you two catty bitches. Keep going.
Strike five.
All right. Well, I've been watching that. It's a good movie. Right. When it comes out on Apple TV, give it a watch. It's bizarre. It's weird. It's sort of crappy special effects, but I do like the storyline. It goes a bit silly in places, but I actually really enjoyed it.
It's really funny, isn't it? Yeah, it's really funny.
And I've got to say, Gogglebox on Foxtel and 10, last year, I was talking about how it was being overproduced. I feel like they've pushed back this year. They pulled it back this year. And they're actually letting the people actually react to TV shows rather than trying to intercut too much or have the voiceover say something that creates a story. The Gogglebox is a better viewing experience when we actually understand how people are reacting to TV shows. And to me, that is what that show's all about. Robbo, what have you been watching?
Can I go on the back of that? I've always said this as well. There are obviously many great talents in Gogglebox Australia. I've always thought that it was overproduced. When you watch Gogglebox UK, you feel like you're in the lounge room with them and they don't know the camera's on. I think there's a little bit too much performance, and always has been.
In the Australian UK version.
In the Australian version, there's always been a little bit too much. When you watch the UK version, it comes and goes because, for God's sake, you know, they've got a couple of studio lights, there's two cameras on them, all of that kind of thing, right? So yeah. I get it. I've always had that criticism of Australia. It always just feels a little bit like, who's going to hit the line for the promo? And they know that. How can I get in the promo with my line? That's always been a little bit of a criticism for me. But, you know, obviously lots of great talent there. Look, after we heard of Mike McColl Jones, I've been going on a very deep YouTube vortex. So there's a great documentary about Vizard, you know, his Tonight Show. There's a great documentary on there that had been recorded years and years ago. I've been watching lots of Graham Kennedy clips, lots of Bert clips, and lots of them, you know, wonderfully, they do reference him. They talk about this man who's in the background, who people don't know. Mm. But there's always this little thing of, oh, they go, oh, that wasn't a good one, Mike, or oh, that was a good one. You know, that it's really great. So I implore you to do that. I did see a comment just talking about this. Ford Cutter says, I've never seen anything with Graham Kennedy before, but even without having seen it, you can already tell how powerful he was from the way that people still talk about him. That's true. Graham was an absolute legend, but you have great people behind him. And Mike McColl Jones was one of those. Like, just fantastic. So I encourage you, if you've got time, go into a YouTube vortex of old Australian television. You won't miss it. And that's kind of what I've been watching over the past couple of days, really.
Yep.
Which is fantastic. Over to you, Mark.
Oh, you're throwing at me now. I don't know what's going on. Love you, Rob.
Change the format.
I know. Mid-show, we're all over.
I didn't know what to say, so I just said something like, how about them Broncos?
Fine.
Sorry, Robbie.
Sounds great to me.
Cut this out.
we'll edit this. This is a good thing. I previewed the new Stan comedy drama, Population 11.
Is it any good?
If you are a fan of productions made by Jungle, so No Activity, that kind of thing, you'll love it. You'll really dig it.
I'm not being a smartass.
No, that's all right. Jungle, an Australian production company, make a lot of their comedy, particularly, is a lot more fast and loose, to the point of being largely, you know, sort of comedy on the fly, and we'll make up this and we'll just sort of, here's the basic premise of the scene and we want you to go there. It's a little more scripted than that, but they just seem to have an approach to the way they deliver their comedy. It's a bit darker and it's a little bit like, I'll land the gag and move on. Obviously there's no...
They're not the ones that made that terrible movie with Sean Penn in it that was on Stan.
No, they are not, and it wasn't terrible, which is why I'm not going to name it. No, it wasn't. Sorry, just been distracted because I saw this comment and I thought I just want to get it up to get Robert's opinion here.
That one was just terrible and...
Oh, my God. I don't mind that. Please read this. Yeah, read this comment. Okay. Read the comment. Yeah.
That's a fair comment. Matthew Goodyear asked, did we all get our Hubbles this week?
No, we didn't. I didn't get one. I never get shit from this show.
I did, but it got sent home and I haven't been home yet.
All right.
I didn't get it.
You're technically closer to his Hubble than he is, Robbo, so if you nick down to where it is, you could probably get it. Anyway, we've digressed. I really enjoyed Population 11. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I appreciate the comedy, and I think it's it's got a great cast. Ben Feldman, who's been in Mad Men and Silicon Valley and a bunch of things. He's
Superstore.
Superstore. He's an American who's trying to reconnect with his estranged dad, played by Darren Gilshenan, who is in all of those things, the Moody's and all of that stuff. He's hilarious. Living in a small, remote West Australian town where the population is 12, but his dad goes missing. Thus, Population 11. It stars a whole bunch of people. Steve LaMarquand, Katrina Milosevic is brilliant. She's so, so good as the copper in town. I recommend it, but it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Population 11 is on Stan. The entire series drops, I think it's this Thursday, if you want to check it out. Oh, so much comment flying in around Hubble now and whether or not Robbo should get one. I did get the chance to actually preview a little bit of television this week, and I want to recommend, not just because it's Australian content, because it's bloody good Australian content, High Country, a new drama that comes to Binge next week. It's first two episodes up front, and then it's going to drop the remaining six week on week. It is a compelling, dark mystery. It's all of the stuff that we've come to know, love, particularly the kind of stuff that Binge have been commissioning and bringing to us. I'm going to have to look up while we're talking about it live, because I cannot remember any of the cast right now, and it's killing me. Here we go. Leah Purcell, of course. Leah Purcell stars in it.
Love her.
Aaron Pedersen is in it. Sarah Wiseman. Ian McElhenney from Game of Thrones as well. Like, it is a ripper cast and absolutely worth your time. I've only seen the first two and I'm hooked. I cannot get the next six quick enough. High Country starts on Binge next week.
Oh, I'm going to watch that.
If I can throw a quick upmulk into it, the now Academy Award winning American Fiction on Prime Video. Big upmulk, big conversation about race and class, and particularly in American context, loved it. And here's a throwback for an upmulk if you want to get this one, India. No, it's all right. I'll save it for next week. Move on. Thanks.
Well done.
This is literally the week you've got time. We're at 45 minutes.
Okay, well, let's talk about everything, friends.
No, that's not what I meant.
Just open the door. Open the door. There's a new series coming to Apple TV, to Binge this week, called Apples Never Fall. Stars Sam Neill and Annette Bening, and I highly
love them both.
Bringing to screen another Leanne Moriarty book. It's compelling. The basic premise is Bening and Neill are married in the sort of sunset of their life together. They sell their tennis coaching academy to retire and enjoy life, and they lead a reasonably mundane life. This person appears on their doorstep and turns their life on its head. Fine, right? They get a little bit of excitement out of all of that. And then Annette Bening's character goes missing. What happened? Who did it? Why did she go missing? Where is she? Is she dead? Who even knows? Apples Never Fall.
It was the tennis racket.
Binge. Well could have been.
It was Pat Rafter in the drawing room with the tennis racket.
And he must have all over that. Anyway, Apples Never Fall is very great.
And that brings us to the end of TV Black Box for another week.
It's the Oscars music.
Chris Reid, who saw Argo with me, said, no, it's shit. But I actually did enjoy it.
No. Very wrong.
All right, that is TV Black Box for another week. Thank you for joining us live. If you did indeed do so, you can find TV Black Box, the links to the video podcast on the website when we post the story on Wednesday morning. And join us again live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sydney, Melbourne time, 7 p.m. Queensland, 7:30 in South Australia, and 5 p.m. in Perth. David Robinson, thank you very much. And Mark, you were here too. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to go to TV Black Box, where people in the industry get their news.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.